introduction into the digital landscape of credit unions. It's an exciting time for us, right? It's an exciting time for credit unions because we're definitely on the forefront of something very spectacular. You hear a lot about the fourth industrial revolution. You know, the first industrial revolution involved steam. The second involved electricity. The third, computers. We're in the digital age, and it promises to be faster than any other revolution that ever took place, ever. And so we're excited to share a little bit more about what CU Ledger is doing and how it's going to benefit credit unions all over the world. So just a little brief history of CU Ledger for those of you that are online or visiting online or hearing about us for the first time. We started as a research to action project back in 2016. It was started through Mountain West Credit Union Association, a regional credit union association located in Colorado. And they started the thinking around how do we solve the identity problem. Soon this initiative became national, and the Credit Union National Association became involved and got other thought leaders within the credit union industry to think about what if. You know, we hear all this stuff about blockchain and distributed ledger technology. Is it really cryptocurrency? Does it have to be? Are there operational benefits that can be gained from this technology that we as an industry need to be aware of? And how can it improve our processes? So we had over 40 organizations, credit unions, and other related organizations within the system contribute research dollars. These were expense dollars, no strings attached, to see what this looks like. CU Ledger was then formed in June of 2017. And we have now 40 investors. We just closed our Series A round of financing, and I'll share a little bit more about that. But we have 40 investors made up of credit unions, trade associations, as well as other credit union service organizations and service providers that provide products and services to credit unions, all part of the CU Ledger family. I want to point out three leagues, because those leagues had developed their own CUSOs to allow other credit unions to invest as well. So that 40 number actually is more like 65, and most of them credit unions. So we're really excited to be part of that. Here's our investors. This slide is getting a little busy now with all the activity that we have, but we're very proud of this slide. We're very proud of the support that we're getting from within the system. So thank you all for that generosity and believing in what we're here to do. But this is not just a U.S. credit union initiative. This is global. And in my 30 plus years of being in the credit union industry, I have not seen an initiative of this magnitude. We're not only representing credit unions in the U.S., we're representing credit unions across the globe, which represents over 89,000 credit unions and more than 260 million consumers. But why should we care? Why is it? It's all about the member, right? So there are three things: protect, connect, include. The protection standpoint of identity theft. We've seen the numbers, and I have more numbers to share with you in a second, that the fact that identity theft is getting out of control. Not only that, credit unions and members have a very strong, trusting relationship with one another. And that's what we're trying to protect as well. Connect, we need to make the experience less friction. We make it frictionless. We have to engage with our members in a seamless way, regardless of channels that they interact with. And we want to include. Not only can these credentials be used to authenticate consumers with their credit unions, but also they should be able to use those credentials anywhere they want to. And that's the interoperability piece. And then we can take it one step further and talk about financial inclusion, where 2 billion consumers around the world don't have a financial relationship, and primarily because they don't have an identity. So in CU Ledger, Our goal is to deliver the world's premier network of digital exchange for financial cooperatives. And I'll get into what we mean by digital exchange. We are digitized. We are probably, the word digital is coming at us from all different directions, right? And it's just like what I equate to the e-commerce days in the start of 2000, where e-commerce this, e-commerce that. Now we're kind of digital out. That's a possibility. We're getting it in all sorts of directions too. Everybody has different definitions of what digital means. Primarily digital means is digital access. It means you as a consumer using some type of platform, let it be internet banking or mobile banking or what have you, to get access to your funds to the credit union. That's what we call digital access. It's accessing that information. But from our standpoint, what CU Ledger is doing, it's about digital exchange. It's about peer-to-peer type of relationships, one-to-one encrypted relationships with each other, whether that be another individual or a financial institution like a credit union, or let's say the credit union has a relationship with another credit union or even another entity, or e-commerce, retail, what have you. It's about the exchange of information, of valuable information from one entity to another. And it really equates to really three things. We're looking at it from the three C standpoint. And I had trouble with number two. So three is, the first one is credentials. And that's our primary focus of MyCUID, is the ability to utilize decentralized credentials in a digital exchange environment. The second one I label correspondence. But what I'm referring to here is digital information and the use of smart contracts. Smart contracts is a term that's very well associated with distributed ledger technology and blockchain, where you can automate a lot of different processes. We're looking at it from the standpoint of loan participations and creating a network of credit unions around the world that can participate in loans. Think about how smart contracts can be used from a lending standpoint as well as an onboarding standpoint. And the third component is currency. Now, we're not looking at cryptocurrency, but the concept of cross-border payments or the ability to send money internationally is a big one. And that is the focus that we're going to concentrate on initially. The other big promise that blockchain technology provides is the notion of decentralization. The financial ecosystem today has been built on a centralized model. It's a one-to-one relationship with a provider. And while that has been very successful for us, it's also created a lot of problems for us in that it creates honeypots of information. And that's why we hear a lot about the hacking attempts that are being talked about all over the media. Right, so there's information that's stored within these centralized repositories that hackers drool over. They get into these systems, they gravitate to that information, and they sell it on the black market. The decentralized notion of blockchain technology is decentralized, meaning copies of information is shared in blocks and shared across a network of nodes or computers that store this information. So the opportunity for hackers to attack and get hold of information is very difficult because everyone, at least 51% of the parties in the network have to agree that this information is valid, that it's true, and it's actually worth transacting. And Daryl will talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But when we look at the network of digital exchange, think about it much more broadly as MyCUID and the decentralized credentials. This is our foundation. This is our flagship product. But there are other tools and activities that credit unions could take advantage of through settlement, as an example, through threat sharing, through smart contracts, identity verification, and then think of all the possibilities in terms of applications beyond that. Through lending, through Internet of Things, compliance, new account opening, what have you. And there's going to be more to come that we don't even know about today. So next I want to get into a little bit about our accomplishments in 2018, because we're certainly very proud of what we've done through the support of a very supportive industry that we are a part of. So I mentioned that we have closed our Series A round of funding, and I'm pleased to say that we have attracted $10 million to support us in our mission of solving the identity problem. From a technology standpoint, we did a review of our technology. We worked very closely with some innovation companies. Best Innovation Group really helped us out in designing what the network would look like. We did a review of that network. And we also did some validation of customers to make sure that we're on the right path as it relates to what we're trying to accomplish. Our goal was to solidify 5 alpha pilot credit unions, and you'll hear the results of that in a second, and work with 2 to 3 industry partners to help us in this journey. From the voice of the customer standpoint, we did our first wave of research, and I have a couple of slides that I'll share with you from that research, both from the consumer and also from the credit union perspective, which is really interesting. And I plan on doing more of that research coming out of the pilots. We did a redesign of our website. If you haven't been to CUledger.com, I encourage you to do that. What we're developing there is a resource of information to help educate you on blockchain technology, decentralized identities, but also we'll be featuring other products and services that will be made available. We formed a number of committees of credit unions, and primarily within our investors. We have a variety of advisors that are working with us around the world from a lot of different aspects, not only decentralized identities, but also in compliance, blockchain, and other resources around the world. The committees that we've established are made up of our investor group. And these committees are going to give us ongoing feedback into product and market strategy, governance framework, and also into our technology architecture. This is what our timeline looks like going into 2019. I mentioned that we have 5 pilots or launches, and we're calling them alpha launches, that have been established. I'm happy to say we have actually 6 of them that we just kicked off the launches for those. And we're going to plan those launches. We're going to occur through the next few months. And in March, we are going to expand that audience. The alpha launches are really restricted to credit union employees. And the beta launches, we're going to look at extending those launches or those use cases out into the credit union member consumer marketplace. And then we're looking for full commercialization the second half of 2019. Let me get into a little bit about MyCUID itself and what it is and what it means to us. It means to credit unions. This is the slide that keeps me up at night. If you've ever been to this website, I encourage you to go there. While it's interesting graphically to look at, it's also scary at the same time. Because what this is a graphical display of the number of breaches that have occurred in 2017. Many of these we've heard about because the magnitude, we get them in mainstream media. But there's so many others that we don't know about. Then on top of that, there was one resource, IT Governance, that quoted that in July alone last year, 140 million records were leaked. That was just in 1 month. Scary. But then you add all the costs associated with those occurrences, right? You're looking at fraud-related costs. Identity theft is at an all-time high. 6.6% of consumers in the U.S. have been victimized of identity fraud. And then all the compliance costs associated with maintaining the architecture within a credit union. And that, those costs don't seem to be going down, but only increase. And I think the number is, 36% since 2013 have those costs gone up. This is a little bit of the research that we did among consumers. We looked at both credit union members and non-credit union members. And overall, the story is the same. This research is specifically for credit union members. They're not up with passwords, bottom line. There's the identity management process is truly a pain point for them. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the point where I have to write down my username and passwords. And not only that, I have three teenagers at home that expect me to manage their relationships as well. So MyCUID will be the first KYC-compliant, member-owned, interoperable digital credential coming from credit unions to credit union members worldwide. And why that's important and so foundational is because every interaction that a credit union has starts with identifying who you are as a consumer, whether that be in a call center, online, or in a branch environment. And what credit unions want is really just one way, one seamless way of being able to authenticate their members regardless of channel. Right now that's all different, that's all disparate. Now they want the seamless way of connecting with their membership, whether that be those three type of opportunities or more in the future. Let me first explain a little bit about what we mean by self-sovereign identity. And it's helpful to know the different types of identities are out there. The siloed identity is probably the most common that we're familiar with, where we have established a relationship, a username and password relationship with a certain entity. It could be a credit union, it could be a retailer, someone online, a government agency, what have you. That's where the hundreds of passwords and usernames come into play, right? There's a one-to-one relationship. That's where the identity fraud occurs because they're all maintained and stored within a central repository that you don't know if they're how it's being secured, who has access to the information, or where it even is. The second type is called federated. While the notion of federated identity is a good one because it can eliminate a username and password, the risk still exists. So the most common federated identities you're probably familiar with are those where you can log in with other social media like Facebook or Google+ or LinkedIn, what have you. Self-sovereign really takes the concept of a siloed identity and flips it on its head. So instead, with a self-sovereign identity, members own and control their identity, and it can never be taken away. And Daryl will speak to kind of how the ecosystem of that all works and how that flows. But this is flipping it completely, flipping it on its head, and putting the power of the identity and the credentials in the credit union members' hands or the consumer's hands. This is the research piece of research that really excites me the most. From a non-credit union perspective, member perspective, or banking customer perspective, we found that nearly 80% of individuals that we surveyed look very favorably towards MyCUID. In fact, those banking customers would look to a credit union if they were to offer MyCUID. That's great information to discover, right? That something so powerful can initiate that type of reaction in the marketplace. At this point in time, I'm going to invite Daryl O'Donnell to come up and provide a technology update. Daryl is our Chief Technology Officer. Mr. O'Donnell.
Thanks, Julie.